Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm here today with my friend and yours, Miss Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm more awake than usual, but still very tired.
We're recording at a decent time.
This is wild. We're usually recording in the dead of night.
Yeah. We usually
I've never seen you in the daylight.
Neither. I've not seen you. And I got to tell you, I'm terrified. Well, you have children and you're like, the children must slumber before you talk like a gremlin. You're like, the children must slumber before we record.
I always say that.
And so
and I rub my orb.
Yeah.
You know.
So I usually come over like 9, 9:30.
At least. Then, and the kids are still wandering around sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it's Friday.
Yeah. And then we'll start at 10. But here we are. It's 7:26, which is exciting.
Goodness.
We could finish at a decent time tonight.
We could.
Or we could just do an extra long. I was thinking about for the next 100 we hit, what if we just do a crazy long episode?
Okay. How long is long for us?
Some
of ours go like 2.5, which is bananas.
No. Like 10, like a marathon.
10 hours.
Yeah.
Batteries
will have to be changed.
Yeah, sure.
But other than that, no editing.
No editing.
And I'll have to.
It's like a Joe Rogan thing.
It's like, I was thinking more like the Jerry Lewis telethon. I have to, like, you know,
we have to dye
a bunch of guests.
All of your hair black.
Around,
whatever hair is on your face, whatever hair is on your head, it's got to be black.
Around hour 5, I'm going to get real weird. I'll be like, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about.
We have to raise money for something, though. People have to call in.
Oh, God. I would love to take callers. Did you see any of that John Mulaney talk show that he did?
Mm.
He did just
six
episodes.
No, but I heard great things.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was really
I want to check it out. We've been watching the last season of Miracle Workers.
I haven't watched any of that.
It's extremely difficult to watch if you don't have cable. I had to use like my mom's cable sign-in to get on the TBS app to watch it. And the TBS app is very glitchy on a Fire Stick, which is what we have. So I have
TBS app, I end up watching it on my phone.
I'm just like, wow, okay. So streaming nowhere else. It used to be on Max. It is not on Max.
Really?
Like, well, the old seasons are. The new season is not.
That's some bullshit.
So,
what's the theme of the new season? Where are they now?
It's Mad Max. It's like it's called End Times,
I think.
It has its very funny moments, but I thought I would like this season the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, it might be my least favorite overall. But Daniel Radcliffe is pitch perfect. He's amazing.
Isn't he always?
He really is. Everybody is. I just think they're working with kind of weaker material.
I agree.
David Desmalchian, friend of the pod, is on it though.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah,
I just
best friend of the pod.
Just now came out of Furiosa, Mad Max Saga, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm disappointed.
Wow, no, really?
It was 2.5 hours. A lot of people like it, and I'm glad because I like when people like things. But for me, I was like super disappointed, mainly because I think what makes Mad Max good is being kind of crazy.
Uh-huh.
And it like this one takes itself super serious and it's like two and a half hours and it's like trying to be too deep for a Mad Max movie.
What's it, George Miller?
Yeah.
Is it him?
Yeah, it's him. But I love Anya Taylor-Joy.
I do too. I saw the trailer. I actually just saw the trailer yesterday and Bill and I were like, "Wow, it looks exactly like Fury Road. Great. I want more of that. I don't care if it's a rehash. Like I just want more of that.
Whereas Fury Road is like almost like real time, like a chase in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
This is like her whole life in chapters and
this.
It's trying to be crazy epic. It's it's got really interesting things in it. I was disappointed. But anyway, this isn't the chill sesh. This is the intro. This is Pop Culture Man Children. And this is a full episode. That means we're gonna do 3 segments. We're going to I don't have any news, so we're just gonna talk about trailers. I have no news. If we have any news.
Morgan Spurlock died.
Died, yeah, I saw that.
Not of
chicken nugget
McDonald's
poisoning.
But who knows? Maybe it gave him cancer. I mean, I don't know.
That would be his final.
It was just a 30-day thing, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be his final. Imagine he left a note that was like, McDonald's.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's like the only bit of news.
I was going to talk about how Dan Schneider is suing that documentary about him.
Really?
Which seems really misguided. Because it's like, what do you think you're going to gain from that guy?
I don't think anything.
There
used to be witnesses against him. Although, I don't know. He could win if they don't have anything hard on, like, hard evidence that he did any of that stuff.
Right. Well, the only thing that I believe, by the way, though,
I'm just saying.
Right.
In a court of law, it might be difficult to prove.
Well, it's a weird... I mean, it's a weird thing because the documentary itself is weird because people call it a Dan Schneider documentary, but it's not only about him. It's about other things, too.
And right. Like, he didn't molest that guy on Drake and Josh. It was a completely different guy.
Yeah, a completely different guy. And the thing that, like...
Maybe he's doing because people are conflating him with that guy.
Maybe.
Which... To be fair, if he was a bully and a creeper and a weirdo, like, he's not great, but he still didn't molest anybody. So I think there is a difference.
Yeah, the weird thing with the thing that they specifically talk about are two female writers talk about how he mistreated them and tried to pay them as one writer and just was a complete misogynist.
Mm-hmm.
And made stupid jokes, like really inappropriate jokes and shit at them. But a lot of like the creepy stuff comes from content analysis of his shows,
right, with the feed, right, and like which doing is like all kinds of weird
super, which is super creepy and interesting, but it's also like that's not something you can really,
you can't prosecute somebody for that, right? Like that's
right.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see that documentary?
I didn't.
I mean, there's a clip of like behind the scenes stuff, and Ariana Grande from Wicked, who mm-hmm. we're going to talk about, who I love. He walks in the room and she like stiffens up, like she's clearly so uncomfortable to just have him in her space.
Wow.
And it's like,
it's visibly
and
tense.
He's got a real like Steve Buscemi, hey kid, I'm just one of you kids vibe. And it's just super, it's clearly there's bad stuff going on with that guy. But who told him to sue? Like, that's not gonna win.
That's,
go away.
That's like sociopathic.
Yeah.
That's sociopathic behavior because you feel like you're above everything, that you're not going to get nailed for anything that you did.
Right. It's like Trump falling asleep in his trial. It's like that truly.
I don't know that he could help that.
Sociopathic.
He's a very old man.
I know. anyway.
He was like, Morgan Spurlock, I do that every day of my life.
And shit myself. All right. So that's the news.
No. All right.
So let's talk about trailers. We have four trailers to talk about.
Woo.
I have a fifth one to talk about.
Oh?
That got removed before you can
watch
it.
But it's a trailer.
It was a leaked trailer.
Oh, I see.
The beginning part of it had no sound because there was a song in it that got copyright strike.
Okay.
It was leaked. Okay. I think it will come out soon.
Okay.
But I know it is legitimate.
Yeah.
Because you can tell, I mean, that's their voices.
Right. Oh, it's everybody.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
So one of the trailers that I watched and Janine couldn't watch because by the time she went to look at it, it was already taken down, was a trailer for the Married with Children animated series with Katie Sagal, Ed O'Neill, the kids too.
I don't know. I just saw their names. So I don't know that I would.
I'm not sure if the kids are, the characters are in it, but I don't know if because they're so much older. I don't know if they're voicing it. But Ed O'Neill and Katie Sagal are voicing, and the premise is like they move from Chicago to Florida.
Oh, that scans. That really does.
And they're in a place called Dumpwater, Florida. And
they always felt Floridian to me.
Yeah. I just think it's a really brilliant idea. It's such a brilliant way. My brother was saying this when I shared it with him. Like, it's such a simple, brilliant way to reboot an old show.
Mm.
Do it as a cartoon. And then also, like, all the offensive kind of stuff that they used to do in Married with Children, that would fly much easier in a cartoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Family Guy.
Absolutely.
Whereas, like, I think on a sitcom, it would be, there'd be too much scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But it looked, and like, you know, it was a sitcom. So there was like three sets and it was a three camera show. Mm-hmm. Like in the trailer, like you see them pull up to their new house and then there's a sinkhole in front that they fall into. And then you see like a montage of like Bud tries to go into a nightclub and the bouncer throws him out. A guy in a back alley tries to mug Al and he opens up his wallet and there's nothing in it but a note that says, I have no money, I'm a shoe salesman. And then the stick-up man hugs him and they hug each other. Al's fishing and he thinks he got something and it's a dead body.
Oh my God.
Because it's Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm on board for this.
Where is it going to be streaming?
I don't know. I
Or is it streaming at all? Is it on TV?
I feel like it's going to be streaming.
Okay.
That's just a feeling.
Mm.
So I don't know. But
things that are on TV, unless they go right to Hulu, are weirdly difficult to watch, I have discovered.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. So, but then we have four other trailers.
All right.
Where do you want? What do you want to do?
Well, let's talk about Ultraman, because I was like, am I crazy? I've seen this before, but it's, I guess...
We talked about the teaser.
The teaser, you know, these teasers. We were just discussing this the other day, Bill and I. We're like, teasers are what trailers used to be.
Yeah.
And now trailers are just the movie.
True. Well,
I find that most too many trailers give away too much.
Well, I think the main difference besides the time, right? Trailers are typically around 2 minutes and teasers are around 30 seconds to a minute. Is that a teaser only showcases aesthetic things, whereas a trailer will have dialogue and story elements.
Yeah.
It gives you an idea of what the story is, typically speaking. But now you also have like teasers for teasers, like teasers for trailers.
Yeah.
So it's a whole, world. So yeah, we talked about the teaser for Ultraman.
Right, which showed him playing professional baseball and... Right,
because baseball's big in Japan.
That's right. And then gaining all these powers. In fact, I thought it was a sequel when I started watching this trailer because it's like, saving the world is pretty great. The only problem is I'm not that great at it. So I'm like, oh, okay, so this is after he's gotten his powers already and he's sort of but it's the same movie.
I think it's sort of a sequel, sort of a reboot because, well, one thing with Ultraman is, like Power Rangers, it's gone on for a million years.
Wow.
So there's a million versions of it. Mm-hmm. So this Ultraman Rising is an animated film that's going to come out for Netflix. Mm-hmm. The suit that he's wearing is the original Ultraman suit. And it seems like it's a...
And that's going back to like how long ago?
Oh, God. Ultraman itself is a spinoff.
Oh.
Ultraman was a spinoff of a show called Ultra Q, which was like a Twilight Zone type anthology show where every week was like a different scary monster.
Oh.
And then they were like, why don't we create a hero to fight the monsters?
Okay.
And that was Ultraman, 60s, I believe.
Oh, okay.
It was produced by Eiji Tsuburaya, who did the special effects for Godzilla.
It does have sort of a mid-century feel to it, despite looking like it's futuristic at times.
Well, they use the old sound effects, too.
Okay.
Because they're kind of iconic to the series. Mm. And you can just tell, as even a new viewer, when you hear it, you can tell it's like, that's got to be an old sound effect.
Wow.
So I think it's
he fights a dragon and then catches its egg.
Yeah.
And then the egg hatches and imprints on him. And it's like a little chubby baby.
Which is adorable.
Chubby baby dragon.
Yeah.
So cute. I would get a plush of that in a second.
Absolutely. It's an interesting way to go because if it is, and I think it is, trying to kind of be a reboot or at least like an access point for American audiences that don't know anything about Ultraman. It's interesting to go that route to have like a cute baby dragon in it.
Yeah.
Because that's so not what the original show was. Like, I mean, they were monsters, but things like that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I think it still might be a sequel in some way because he talks about his father. So I'm like, is he supposed to be the son of the original Ultraman?
Okay.
Because in the original Ultraman show, the father's a scientist.
Okay.
And he's part of like a team of people. Whereas this guy is like a professional baseball player.
Yeah, it seems like he very much stumbled, at least power stumbled upon him.
Yeah. And the trailer has all the colors.
Oh, it's so pretty.
It looks so pretty.
Yeah.
The
animation's very nice.
I love Tokyo on film and I love the way Tokyo is depicted in animation and stuff. Because it is a bright, colorful city and, you know, it's just purples and gorgeous colors. And, I like that it has its own unique vibe, but it's not too into the Spider-Verse, which I feel like I like the new Ninja Turtles movie. We were talking about it before we started recording. Mm-hmm. But the one knock against it would be like it's too similar to the Into the Spider-Verse animation. And this has its own, I don't know how you put it, like physics maybe. Like the characters have a weird look to them.
Yeah, they're like a little more, they're stylized. Yeah. So it's not like it's doing, trying to render reality, right? So, or doing like a Pixar-y type of thing where everyone's sort of a little rounder. They seem a little more like rectangular, a little bit more like sharper edges to them. But it looks seamless. Like it looks very smooth.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks very smooth. Mm-hmm. And it's the, you know, he becomes a giant. Because Netflix has had Ultraman for a while. They had an Ultraman series that had like two or three seasons. But that was based on a much later manga where it's like the grandson of the original Ultraman and he has no powers. It's more like Iron Man. And it's like a real like hat on a hat on a hat situation. So this is like very like, here's just your original idea. He's Ultraman. He's a guy. He gets a power from an alien. Mm-hmm. Actually, the alien is like in his body. And he can become a giant, but for 3 minutes.
Okay.
And the light in his chest is the timer. And when the 3 minutes is up, he'll shrink again.
Okay.
So you got that ticking clock going. And
then how long between when he can change it to Ultraman? Or can he just do it, like, if he shrinks down, can he pop back up?
That's a great question. I don't remember.
Okay.
It's not right away. But it also, it's similar to, like, the way the Power Rangers, like, they would get in the Zords at the end. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, the episode's ending. Time
he's
to become
He's going to turn into Ultraman. A big guy. Yeah. Okay.
And then he's, but then there's the Ultraman, like, task force, which is, like, the people that are supporting Ultraman.
Oh, sure.
And he's
shrinks,
one of them, and they don't know that he's always like, oh, I got to go for a second. And then it's like,
what do they think he's contributing to the team?
He's clearly Ultraman.
Who do they think Ultraman is?
Right. They think Ultraman's just an alien.
Why doesn't he ever attend their meetings if they're supporting him?
Right, right.
They're his support staff.
Oh, this one guy looks really bad. Every time Ultraman's here, you're not here. It's weird because it's like if in Superman, it was like a special club of like, we're the Superman task force.
Yeah.
And then Clark is like, oh, I got to go check something out.
And then they're like, oh, and Superman's like, here. It's weird. Clark just left. We might fire him. He's a very bad employee.
He's bad at doing this. He's bad at supporting you, Superman.
My God.
And then Superman's like, I don't know.
Like,
he's
no,
cool.
No, he's we go right. way back. You know, he saved my life once. We got to keep him on.
He saved your life.
It's starting to make sense. It is starting to make sense why they would keep this bad employee around. You know, you only have to be two out of three things. You either have to be good at your job, punctual, or easy to work with. You don't have to be all three. You just have to be two of them, usually, to keep a job.
That's so interesting. Yeah. What am I? I think I might be all three of those.
Because you don't have to be good at your job if you're punctual and easy to work
I'm
with.
Definitely
people will
punctual.
Be like, oh, but she's always on time and she's so nice. It's like, you know, whatever. It's fine. Like the people will make allowances for you. And if you're really good at your job and people like you, they'll forgive lateness.
If you're really good at your job and a white and man, you can be an asshole and people still love you
and
will promote you.
Well, that's the other thing. It's like if you're really good at your job and you're punctual, you don't have to be nice to anybody. Right. People are like, well, they're the best, so you've got to put up with them.
Right.
So only have to be two out of three.
Right. But also you need to be the two elements of white male.
Those are also good to have.
Those great in the workforce to have those privileges. Oh, boy. So Ultraman.
All right.
And
this is not Ulta Man, the guy who he's like always at that beauty store.
No,
getting free,
but he does
birthday freebies.
He does have an arch enemy named Sephora.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about next? I don't know why I'm making it your choice.
It's my choice.
Dealer's choice.
I want the big finale to be Beetlejuice. So what's next, Jim Henson?
Jim Henson, Idea Man. Hey, why
Portrait
are there so many songs about rainbows? Jim Henson, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
We're going to blow the lid off this thing.
So
it's just like everything with Jim Henson where it's like, God, he's gone.
I know. Part of me like, all right, so they play Rainbow Connection, which, by the way, I've never heard any other song about rainbows except Rainbow Connection. And
no, that's
over
not.
The rainbow.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say. I was like,
those are the two.
Okay, but Kermit's
saying, why are there so many songs about rainbows? Your premise is already flawed.
It's a flawed premise.
So, yes, of course, I watched it, and I'm going to watch it, and it's going to touch all my heartstrings.
Cry and cry.
But at the same time, maybe this is what you're saying. Part of me's like, oh, God, I would love more.
Yeah.
Like he had an open marriage.
What? He was a real hippie dude, huh?
And one of the reasons there hasn't been like a narrative biopic of him is because this is my theory.
Okay.
Let me let me pull back and say this is my theory, not a fact.
Okay.
I know that there's not been a Jim Henson biopic, even though there have been attempts.
Yeah.
The Jim Henson family has the right to say no.
Uh-huh.
And they have always said no to every script.
Ooh.
My feeling is that maybe some of those things are in there and they say no.
Mm-hmm.
But in this trailer, they do talk a little bit about how when he became more successful, he was a little bit detached from his family.
Mm.
But I'm like, let's go really into it.
Okay. So, I mean, it does sort of give, it seems to have the narrative that I'm familiar with, not having watched a single documentary or read a single thing about Jim Henson.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's the world's greatest guy. He loves reaching out to people and touching people. And
he's just a pure imagination.
Yeah. And he's just, you know, he's creative. He's an artist. He's a thinker. He's an innovator. You know, he's on par with Walt Disney. And he's, but he's quirky and kind of a hippie. And like, he's the, if Walt Disney is like the suit wearing Don Draper type, he's the counterculture Walt Disney, right? Like, that's how I see him.
Did you ever see?
And his like little band of merry weirdos that he hangs out
which
with.
Which is exactly the way to put it.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever see Epic Rap Battle, Jim Henson, Stan Lee?
No, I don't think I have.
It's a really good one because it's Jim Henson, Stan Lee, but then Disney comes out.
Oh, and he's like, I always love when the third person comes in.
It's really good. I'm trying to think of some of the good fucking slams. Like Kermit says to Stan Lee, something like, it took a lot, I can't remember the rhyme, but it's like, it took a lot of courage to sign your name on old Jack Kirby's comic books. good stuff like that.
Oh, I bet there were jokes about like sticking your hand up people.
I probably.
Sure. Well, you know, that's the thing. I have never heard a bad word about him. And he's just a man, just like everybody else.
He seems like he's a workaholic.
Yes, I do get that vibe from this. And Frank Oz, I know, famously blamed the Walt Disney deal because they didn't belong to Disney prior to this, but.
No, right. The deal was like a long process, and Henson wasn't totally like sure about it, and then when Henson died it just quickly happened.
Yeah
Which feels like, why even? Because Disney's never really understood what to do with it. Why Frank Oz thinks that the Disney deal is what killed him.
He said it, he's on the record saying it. Yeah,
Frank Oz is still holding the candle, man. He's like,
Frank Oz is heavily employed by Disney.
Yes
Yeah, I do feel like he is the dog at the owner's grave. Like, he never left.
Right. Like, yeah, in the trailer, he's like, if I could say one more thing to him, it would be thank you.
Oh, my God. But that's the thing. It's like, you see him as this sort of whimsical, larger-than-life person. Mm-hmm. Not that he himself as a persona is larger-than-life. He actually seems very unassuming and sort of just like kind of with hands in his pockets, just, you know, kicking dirt. But everybody... I shouldn't say this necessarily is the truth, but like, it seems like everybody who ever worked with him loves him. They're also loyal to him.
Right.
Yeah. There's that cult of personality around him, I think.
Yeah. Right.
And
he could have been a cult leader.
Maybe rightly so. I don't know.
Right.
You know, he seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What else is there?
Right. You're right.
Give me a time you like flip somebody off in traffic. You know, something human.
They show a clip. They show one of my favorite all-time Henson clips in the trailer, which is Joey and Kermit.
Oh, yeah.
Joey was a little girl from the first couple seasons of Sesame Street. And that was unscripted. And supposedly, Henson was getting annoyed with her.
Oh, okay.
Because she was really... people go like, oh, it's on camera. No, it's not on camera. When they were rehearsing it, instead of doing ABC, she was supposed to just sing ABC, but she kept saying like AB Cookie Monster. And then she would giggle because she was delighted by it. And Henson was getting annoyed. And then at some point they were like, just go with it. This is funny.
Yeah.
And then he walks away and she goes, I love you. And he comes back and says, I love you too. And she kisses him on the forehead and it's magic.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
It's my favorite anything fucking that ever happened. So that's an example of like, if that story is true,
right,
him getting annoyed at least
like a little child.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard like,
or the stuff with the kid, like his own children,
yeah,
being like, you work to make children happy, but like you're not seeing your own kids.
Right Right.
I don't want to vilify him. Like, that's, I don't, no, that's not my intention.
I'd love to just see him as a human.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Instead of this wonderful deity.
Yeah.
Like, tell me, like, a thing about him that's, like, more than just fucking, he's magic incarnate. Like,
yeah.
Like, fucking, like, I love that Disney was a chain smoker.
Right.
Like, you could always be like, hey, you know, Disney was a fucking chain smoker. And there's a lot of photos where you think he's pointing with two fingers, and that's just decades of fucking photoshopping the cigarettes out of his hand. So that's what I want. Mm. But I'm going to watch it anyway, and I'm going to love it.
Right, because I don't think, I think some people might think Walt Disney is a villain of sorts, but, like, I don't think for the most part any reality from his life has really soured the overall image of Walt Disney. I think people think of him as an innovator, a business tycoon, you know, a creative,
right.
Someone who had very, very big ideas.
No, nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we know things about him now. Like, we know he was anti-union and, like, fucking worked with the House Committee on Un-American Activities and, like, was happy to blacklist people, which all, but all, his communism thing all came from his own pocket, all came from artists wanting to unionize, mm-hmm. and him equating that to communism.
Yeah.
And him being like, oh, we're a family. But yeah, that hasn't hurt him.
No, no.
So I would like
and
to
I
know
And I still
more.
Get like, oh yeah, Walt, like he's the, you know, he's the main dude, even though I know that's not true. It's
they've
it's
done a great job,
right? He's an iconoclast.
They've done an amazing job, like, continuing his authorship beyond his death.
Right. Yes.
Even doing things.
Right. Like, you'll see the Little Mermaid and then there's Walt and you're like, he wasn't alive for
decades.
Or they'll
say like,
already.
Oh, he thought about making a Little Mermaid
right.
for 5 minutes.
Oh,
and it's like,
he's
yeah.
He's always thinking
but
about
he,
all these things.
He
you
thought
know,
about
he thought
everything.
About Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. He did think about Lilo and Stitch. He thought about Sky High. He was like, you know what? How about a school for superheroes with Kurt Russell? I'm still on the Kurt Russell bandwagon.
Although he did love Kurt Russell.
He would have continued.
Loved Kurt Russell. And who doesn't?
I mean, come on.
Have you seen the video of him on his birthday with Goldie Hawn? It's absolutely
adorable. No, I haven't.
Adorable. He's like a puppy. He's like a, he's in, what, he's 70? I don't
Sure.
And she's filming him. It's like a real boomer cell phone video.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, he's walking ahead of her. And she's like, what day is today? And he turns back with like this big goofy smile. And he's like, it's my birthday.
Fantastic.
And you're like, oh, Kurt.
Good for them. Good for them.
They, you know, I think they have an open thing. They make it work. Good for them.
Good, you know what? Whatever works. Hey, whatever works, you know, is what I'm saying.
Maybe they know about Jim Henson.
I would be interested, and I don't know if the documentary will get into this. Maybe it will. Mm. I'd be interested in speculating on his trajectory.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, not happy. And, like, he created Sesame Street, but then, like, immediately bounced. Like, Sesame Street was really a different thing from The Muppet Show. Mm-hmm. And then The Muppet Show, and then he was like, I want to do movies. So he did Muppet movies because that was what made sense.
Right, right.
And then he really wanted to do Dark Crystal, and he didn't give really a shit about what the Muppets were doing. And then he really wanted to do Labyrinth. And he just wanted to do shit like that.
Yeah.
And
he seemed getting into more fantasy and
dark
fantasy.
Right. Like, the way Walt eventually, like, was not entirely about Mickey. Like, he moved on to other things.
He was very much a, as you said, in the Mickey episode, or the Walt Disney episode, it's like the future city of tomorrow.
Yeah, like, where would Jim Henson's mind have gone, you know? And right before he died, he was doing things like, you know, working on the Ninja Turtle movie and stuff like
that. Oh, wow.
Like,
I didn't realize he was involved in it. Like, I know it's his like, creature shop, right?
I don't know how involved he is. I know that at the Jim Henson exhibit at the Paley Center, they have some of the Ninja Turtles.
Wow. That's cool.
Some of the Skeksis. Pretty
Skeksis.
Wild.
Skeksis. Sexy Skeksis.
Anya Taylor-Joy, she voiced a
in the new
a Gelfling, not a
new. Well, they're not the new anymore.
Well, yeah, it's like 5 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like one season that cost $10 zillion to make, and then I watched it.
It's what Jim would have wanted.
And it is what Jim would have wanted. Yeah, and I think that was the thing, too. Like, the world was like, Muppets. And he was like,
I hate Muppets.
I really don't want to fucking do Muppets.
That's the dark secret, right? That's what I want to hear. I want to hear him shit talk Kermit.
Yeah, I want to hear him be like, I don't want it. I'm more than this, goddammit. I just want to hear him cuss. I want to hear him go, fucking motherfucker. That goddamn Cookie Monster. Oh
my God. Flip my wife at a wedding.
I can't stop thinking about it. Anyway, so that's the Jim Henson Idea Man.
Idea Man.
Okay, so I guess we're going to talk about Wicked now, because you want to say Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
I do, because it's the newest. I think the Wicked trailer looks phenomenal.
It looks...
But it also looks like the whole movie.
Although it's not. It's half the movie. Or it's half the story.
Half the story.
It's the first act of the play, yeah, probably.
Yeah. I think the first act of the play ends with her doing
Defying Gravity. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it. I saw it a million years
me
ago.
Me too. I can't remember what it's about for the life of me.
I think it was in high school. I don't know. I liked it. I read the book. Yeah. Also,
but the book's very different, right?
Very different. But a lot of the same beats, you know.
Okay.
Gregory Maguire, I think, was more interested in like developing the world and not as interested in the core story of the musical. Like they did a lot of, you know, shaving down with that story. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of silly words in that book. You know, Shiz is the name of the university. Welcome to Shiz.
Yeah.
Weird.
I shizzed my pants when I watched this. I watched this trailer.
I think the plot, if I remember, because it's also been like a couple years since I read the book, is that at the time that Elphaba, who's the Wicked Witch of the West,
yes,
attends Shiz University, and she's there with Galinda, which is weird because it's Glinda, but it's Galinda in the book and the movie, and I guess the musical, and then she eventually changes it to Glinda.
Huh.
It's like G-A. It's weird. I don't remember what that
is
about.
That a def is
I like, always not thought just that saying was, like Galinda instead of Glinda.
Yeah, I always thought it was like a pronunciation there. Issue.
I've seen it written for the recent materials and it does say GA, so it's like, yeah, so it's I don't remember what that's plot point
that reminds
is.
Me of my long-standing issue with the Riddler, because he should be the Riddler.
The Riddler. Riddler instead of Riddler.
Yeah.
Like a diddler.
The Riddler.
Riddle.
I'm the Riddler. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, if you said it like that, it sounds like very funny. And you have to Riddler. Move your head a lot. I'm the Riddler.
I'm the Riddler.
I didn't take Ritalin.
Yeah. And it calms me down.
And I don't really care about those riddles so much anymore.
Ariana Grande is... She's a charming woman.
Looks... So
she's right for the part.
Good in this. And she is doing so. Okay. The originators of the roles on Broadway are Idina Menzel, Adele Dazeem. And Kristen Chenoweth.
Her boyfriend, Ty Boggs.
Ty Boggs.
Yeah. He's a character I created. In the mirror universe of Adele Dazeem.
Oh, it's Ty Boggs and not Taye Diggs.
Yeah. Ty Boggs is her
husband.
Ty
Boggs. I like that. So she originated the role on Broadway, and then Kristen Chenoweth originated Galinda. Right. And
that's gonna bother me.
I know, right? I'm just gonna say Glinda because I hate it. I gotta look this up again because I don't
that's
know
so
why
upsetting.
This is the case. But in any event, so they originated the role. I do hear her doing Kristen Chenoweth at times. It sounds like her,
but she's also doing.
But she's also bringing her own flavor
well,
to
she,
it.
Well, she has a naturally like. Very gentle yes. voice.
She's also very good at impressions.
Right.
So I think maybe that was because if you've seen her on SNL, like she does
yeah.
very, very good impressions. And
she sounds a little bit like the Glinda from the original movie, too.
I think she's doing a blend. And honestly, I think she's great. I think she's pitch perfect across the trailer.
She seems like mean enough, but also you like her.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, I mean, kind of stole the trailer for me. Anytime she was in the scene, I'm like, what's she doing? What's Galinda doing?
Yeah.
And then Cynthia Erivo is playing Elphaba.
Yeah.
Really powerful voice. I haven't seen anything else that Cynthia Erivo's been in. I know she's been on Broadway. I don't know in what though. So you'll have to forgive me. But yeah.
First of all, very powerful. Don't voice. Assume a
Sounds
forgiveness.
Amazing. I know. I shouldn't.
Where else has she been in? Moon Girl and Devil Dancer. Star Wars Visions. She was Kratu. Don't remember who that was or what story that was.
Okay, okay.
She's a blue fairy in that dreadful Pinocchio by
Yeah. All right. Galinda drops the first A in her name in the middle of the story in tribute to Dr. Dillamond, a martyred goat who taught at Shiz. Dillamond made the habitual mistake of calling her Glinda instead of Galinda while they shared a carriage before her arrival to the university. I see.
That's okay. Some real
Interesting. I don't know if that's going to make it.
Do you have a last name? No. Oh, your name's Han Solo. Shit.
Yeah. But that is a big plot point in both the book and the musical, is that at Shiz, there are... in Oz, at Shiz...
Tell me more about Shiz.
I'm going to tell you about Shiz. In Oz, at the time...
You ever think you're going to fart and then you shiz?
You shiz right away.
And you have to leave wherever you are.
They're animals. Animals can talk.
Yes, there's a goat teacher in the trailer. And are intelligent. Which I found delightful.
So, and they're also teachers at the university.
Yes.
At Shiz. I'm just going to keep saying Shiz forever. And I have a shirt that says Shiz forever because they are my favorite team when it comes to, like, you know, NCAA championships. I always root for Shiz. So in any event, but there's a plot orchestrated by the wizard to rob the animals of their voices and their intelligence and make them like dumb beasts of burden. And I think the flying monkeys become a part of it because Elphaba saves them. That's why they can speak, I think. Although I don't remember them speaking.
You and me have both seen this play, and I'm drawing. Yeah.
Well, no, I can't remember which parts are from the book and which parts are from the play. So I don't know.
I can't remember a goddamn thing.
I know. But anyway, I showed the trailer to Henry, and he was like, "Can we watch this right now?" And I'm like, "Well, it's gonna be in theaters." And he's like, "Can we go this weekend?" And I was like, "Oh, well, it's gonna be November." Not this weekend. So let's count the days.
That's adorable.
He absolutely was stunned.
And now
by
he knows
it.
About theatrical releases. Now he understands the concept.
Yeah. And we're going to go see Garfield tomorrow.
Yo, I might go see Garfield this weekend too.
You come to come tomorrow night. Come to I think the 6 p.m. showing. We'll be there.
Yeah. I
hope they have, you know, like when Alamo does the menus. Like, I hope they have lasagna.
They had a Furiosa menu. Oh. They had a drink. Fucking, what was it? Let me look at my deleted photos because I took a picture of it. No, actually, let me look at my fucking Instagram. Oh. What a life I lead, huh? they had a horchata.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Soy milk, almond, orgeat? I don't know how to say that word.
Okay. Orgeat? It's like a syrup?
Syrup, yeah. Cinnamon. It contains a little bit of like bitters.
Because of the road.
No, well, I don't know. I don't know what the fucking... It was it was pretentious and not exactly what I wanted, which is why it was a perfect drink. No, it was a really delicious drink. I did not buy the commemorative pint glass.
You know what I got that Peter doesn't know about?
What?
I got the AMC trap, the popcorn holder.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So
that's very exciting.
A little birthday gift for him.
So
he
Wicked.
Put all his popcorn in it.
Yeah.
He loves popcorn.
Popcorn's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Wicked.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm shouting. Wicked.
Wicked. Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, she's gorgeous. She's having a moment.
Yeah.
She's really having a moment
she
right
now. She
says
Wicked Witch in it. And it's like, ooh. We're
like the Burning Man.
Yeah, the effigy.
Yeah.
Elphaba. The Elphaba G.
Elphaba G. It's there. We're right there. Elphaba G.
Burning Elphaba G.
And the Wicked Witch portrait, like the propaganda poster.
Yeah.
So good.
And fucking Jeff Goldblum as the wizard.
That wizard effect is extremely cool.
Yes. And he says in it, you know, a way to bring people together is to give them a common enemy.
Yeah. I like that. It's deep.
And
it's deep,
the trailer ends with her fucking getting her broom and jumping out a window and saying, the wizard should be afraid of me. That's exactly how the movie's going to end too.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
going to be very absolutely. Nice. We saw this movie from beginning to end.
You bet we did. there's a...
I don't remember... Oh, no, that's not true. I was going to say, I don't remember any song from the second act.
Yeah, me neither.
But it's... Oh, God. There's like a friendship song
exactly
between
two
the
songs,
two of them.
Those are the two.
No, there's like... There's another one. There's another good one. And it's the friend song. It's the
friend song?
It's the friend song.
I'll be there for you?
Yes.
When
the
rain starts.
Wicked friendship song. For good. That's what it's called. Okay. For good.
So there is... People have talked about the problem with when you see movie musicals now is they make it secret musicals.
Yeah. They played the music.
Yeah. They didn't show anybody singing from their mouths.
True.
But they did play music.
Yeah.
Which is as close as you're going to get now.
Yeah. What is that?
I think that
people think it's corny when people sing in movies.
Yeah, I think that despite them making the effort to make a movie musical, mm-hmm. marketing people probably still feel like musicals are box office fucking poison for younger people. Huh. Who knows if there's truth to that?
I feel like younger people are the ones who cling so dearly to musicals, though.
Right.
Like, they're the ones who go to see it over and over and over again.
Maybe
not
young people. Maybe, you know, they always talk about, like, who they want is the quadrants, right? Like, men, mm-hmm. like, working men, 30 to whatever.
They're
like,
going to go because their wives are going to bring them.
Well, maybe that's who they're worried about. They're worried about losing those people.
I don't think any non-musical loving heterosexual man is going to come see Wicked and be like, yeah, it looks pretty good. Unless they're bringing their daughter or their wife. And I hate to be sexist, but I just don't think that highly of men.
I get it. I get it.
I live in a house full of men. And it's disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's bullshit, too. Like, I remember in grad school, we had a whole, I think it was a research class or gender class. I don't remember what it was. But we were talking about how, like, we tend to think of things as being market driven or economically determined. Mm. But, like, there are more females in the United States than males. Yeah. So why aren't the majority of texts aimed towards females?
Right.
Like, this idea of, like, well, they sell everything to men. And it's like, well, it's a system that's sort of creating itself. Because it's like, you have arbitrarily decided some reason that women aren't buying tickets or whatever. Right. Anyway.
Which, I mean, look at Barbie. Huge.
Look at fucking Barbie.
Huge. And you know who loved it? My husband.
I loved it, too.
Yeah.
All right. So we're done with Wicked. That looks great.
Looks great.
I like the...
I like a Christmas season movie.
Yes.
It's a November release. Like, yes. It's a big Christmas movie. You go shopping for the day with your family.
Maybe you go on Thanksgiving.
Go to Applebee's. Then you go to see Wicked. Everybody has a good time.
Everybody has the shits later.
Oh, everybody has the shits. Because they ate so many apps.
It looks
and
like...
desserts.
Yeah. It looks like it has a very cool, like, sort of creamy pastel aesthetic.
Yes.
But not and colorful and beautiful, but not like the original film.
It's not like a kinetic color scheme where it's like right. very vibrant.
Yeah, no, yeah.
It's very dreamy and
it's
pretty.
Soft, yeah.
Yeah. Like golds and
right.
Obviously pinks and greens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love that. I think it's very, very pretty to look at.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, there's like a subplot with her sister, her disabled sister. What? That's it, and she's cast in the movie, but they don't show that at all.
I don't remember anything.
So
is the sister green too?
No. No.
She's just green on her own.
Yes, and she eventually becomes the Wicked Witch of the East, the sister.
God.
Yeah.
I might as well have not seen this play.
And then, like, a bunch of people turn into other people. So, like, one of the guys at the school they go to becomes the Tin Man. Yeah. It's like a whole thing.
It sounds like a whole thing.
And they all have bad names.
Let's talk about
like her sister's name is Nessa Rose. I don't like that.
I don't like that one.
All right. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. Don't say it again. Oh!
One, two, three. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
So, yeah, what's the time frame on that? Like, can you say it tomorrow?
In the musical.
Yeah.
In the song, Say My Name, Say My Name, he says, "You say it three times, unbroken.
Unbroken. So you could say other stuff.
Right.
You have to start again.
Right.
Uh-huh.
In the movie, I don't know what it is.
Right.
This looks, I don't know. I just don't know.
Okay.
The original Beetlejuice is incredible. I've seen it a million times. It's one of my favorite things ever. I love Beetlejuice. I could watch it a million times. It's such a...
I have a well-documented shame lust for Beetlejuice, as you know.
Yes. It's such a unlikely movie that this weird movie somehow comes together and is great. Mm-hmm. The idea that you can try to do that again just seems super impossible. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And Tim Burton is not a great director, in my opinion. So it's like, and what are his intentions for doing this?
What are his intentions?
I don't know, man. I tell you what I like about it. Michael Keaton seems like he hasn't missed a beat. He is doing
he's
it.
Having fun.
He's as loose as he was. He's
yes.
He's doing the faces. He's doing the voices. He looks exactly like Beetlejuice, and he sounds exactly like Beetlejuice. It's no part of it that's like, that's an older Beetlejuice.
No, he looks great.
That's Beetlejuice.
He's the ghost with the most, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got Jenna Ortega in it.
Yeah.
She's the it girl.
I know. She's not as goth as I'd like her to be.
Her name is Astrid.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Jones is dead, which is a surprise to nobody.
Good. Kate McAllister is there.
Yes.
Oh, fresh Kate off.
Kate McAllister.
Fresh off. How dare you? Schitt's Creek. Moira Rose?
Yeah.
We
see her in the waiting room. So does she die too at some point?
Oh, no. And Beetlejuice is hitting on her as well.
In the trailer, Lydia refers to Beetlejuice as a trickster demon.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Because I don't disagree with that. But it's just I never categorized him as such. He's
a demon.
But it makes sense because he's not necessarily a ghost, right?
I mean, he calls himself the ghost at the most, but he can't be trusted.
No, I can't imagine he was a living person. He does look
like
a
human who died by vomiting or something. I don't know. Based on his appearance, he was like electrocuted and then vomited on himself. Like, I'm not sure. Yeah. I still would. I like it when he says, "What's up, babe?" Yeah. It's my favorite.
I'm going to make you so happy.
when I watched that, Bill just looked at me like I don't even want to hear it.
Me and Jen went to see Psycho recently, and it was Jen's first time.
Oh wow.
And when Norman Bates came on, Jen went smash.
Oh my god, the best. Like, the best.
Like, okay.
Love it. And she's right.
He was a handsome
man. She's absolutely right. He looks like Harrison Ford. Like, there's a Harrison Ford young quality to him, like real young, like
12
when he was playing like a bellhop in his first movie.
Okay,
but there's that same sort of like long face.
Okay,
like yeah, totally. Totally.
It looks like he's gonna try to marry Lydia again because you see her in the red dress again.
Uh-huh.
And you see like a cake with a Beetlejuice and Lydia cake topper.
Oh yes, yeah.
So it looks like he might. I don't know at all what the plot is.
Me neither. Who is Justin Theroux? Is he Winona Ryder's husband?
I think so.
But he doesn't seem like Jenna Ortega's dad. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe he is.
I'm more interested in who Monica Bellucci.
He seems like a. Oh yeah, yeah. And she's fucking like a corpse Willem bride. Dafoe
are.
Yeah.
Who are they?
So she's giving Corpse Bride.
Very much so.
He's giving the character he played in.
Poor Things.
Poor Things.
Yeah.
He just never took off the makeup, yeah. Went right onto the next set.
Yeah.
God bless him.
The person whose head he shrunk in part one seems like he's a real character.
Real character in this.
He's working in the office.
Yeah. But so is Beetlejuice, isn't he?
Well, at one point you see.
He's behind a desk.
Where they draw. Yes, you do. Yeah. But he's pretending to be a therapist, which is really funny.
That is funny. So then I'm thinking couples therapy because it's the two of them.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
But they're in the afterlife. I don't know. At one point, there's a lot of shit in it. There's a plane crashing. What the fuck is that? At one point, Lydia says, can the living and dead live together?
Yeah.
I don't want a complete ignoring of the Maitlands.
Well, Bill brought that up. So he was like, do you think if it wasn't for the rust stuff that they would have brought Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis back?
No, I don't think it's the rust stuff. I think it's just
they can't age, like ghost right, stone age. Right. But I think it also makes sense that the Maitlands would have moved on. Like they don't seem like the type that had unfinished business necessarily. They had each other.
Right.
They didn't leave behind any children. It's sort of like
even if you give me one little piece of dialogue.
Yeah.
I'll accept it happily. I just don't want mention.
Winona Ryder kind of like looks for them.
Yeah.
Or if she mentions like they moved on while I still lived here.
Yeah. Anything like that. Yeah. Anything like that. Because they are the protagonists of the original first movie. Film.
Yeah.
It's yuppie couple fucking against the ghost.
Yeah.
Demon, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to see it.
Of course. I'm going to see it for my birthday. September.
Really? Okay.
It's going to be my birthday
movie.
It's
going to be your birthday movie? Did you do it at Alamo?
You fucking bet. I hope they have a Beetlejuice salad.
Oh, yes.
Just a cockroach salad.
Oh, my God. I want a Beetlejuice drink. I want it to be green. I'd like there to be foam on top.
I would like a commemorative Beetlejuice pint glass. Thank you very much. I like that everyone else does buckets and Alamo's like, we do pint glasses. We're classy.
Buckets?
Yeah.
Buckets of drinks?
No.
Oh, like popcorn buckets. Popcorn buckets. I see. Okay. Well, who else does it? AMC does it? Regal does it.
Okay. There's like five different ones for
Disney Ghostbusters. Does it. Disney's got all
there's
the
trap
buckets.
One. There's a Slimer one from another one.
Oh.
There's a bunch of different ones. Yeah. Okay. It seems like the bucket is the thing that people do now.
Well, sure, because it's popcorn. It's movies.
Right, but Alamo serves like,
drinks, so they're like, we do different things. Classy. Because we're all different here.
Did I pre-order my Deadpool and Wolverine glass? I did.
Okay.
I did with my ticket. I've already got tickets ready.
Okay,
You know, it's funny. When I walked in, I saw the Furiosa glass, and I was like, You earn it.
Okay.
I pointed to the glass and said, you earn it. And then I walked out and I looked at it and then I kept moving.
Yeah, I kept it going.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I will be getting my Garfield pint glass tomorrow.
It can only be delightful, right? Because I'm going in with nothing. I'm going in with no expectations. Yeah.
Is it Chris Pine?
No. It's Chris Pratt.
Oh, that's who I mean.
Worst Chris. It's the worst Chris.
Sorry. He's the guy who does all the animated voices now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy
who
we all loved for a minute and now we all don't like.
I know. I don't know.
He's conservative.
Did he ever do
whatever.
Anything that bad?
He went to a church that was homophobic.
Which church isn't? Right. I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just sort of like, he hasn't done anything that I'm like really loved in recent years. Maybe that's why. Like if his work was so outstanding, we could all just be like, well, whatever. But I think it's just because he's been like churning out sort of mediocre things.
Yeah.
And he sort of has this weird personal life.
He had that glow up that we were all on board with.
Oh, we were. Because we he's super funny on an already funny show.
Yeah.
And he got crazy hot.
Right.
So we're like, win-win. Yeah. Check. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you know what? To his credit, he once said on a radio show or something, he was like, you know, I'm dumb. I don't really have political opinions. I'm sorry. And I was like, you know what? Thank you for saying that.
God bless.
You're just a dummy with nothing in your head.
All those people who are like, actors should act and they shouldn't get involved. He's not trying to get involved. He's not out there like on people's campaign trails. He's just doing his thing. Yeah. Sometimes he posts pictures.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He posts videos of his kids like pledging allegiance.
Should we hate him for it?
No.
I don't think so.
I just don't like him for his bad movies.
I don't like him for Passengers. He has to live with that.
I haven't seen that. Have you?
Nah.
No, of course not.
I saw it, the trailer, and I thought, nah.
So,
I like Guardians. He's good in Guardians.
Did you see 3?
Which one? What happens in that?
A lot of animal abuse randomly.
Oh my God! Why? Oh, because of Rocket Raccoon. No, I've seen 1 and 2, and all of I Am Groot.
2. I've seen all of I Am Groot. 2, I think, is boring. I do not like 2.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I don't like him in it. I don't like him in it. Yeah. But 3, I liked.
Okay, go check it out.
That's it. Beetlejuice. It's gonna suck. Let's just.
It's gonna suck. Oh my God.
I don't have trust in this man anymore. I don't. And also, it's like, I don't know. Part of me, like, there's so much in the trailer. Part of me thinks, like, okay, this could be either wacky and crazy in a good way or wacky and crazy in a meandering, throwing everything at the wall way.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, you see in the underworld, like, train station. It looks like people doing a dance.
Yeah. It's like, what is happening? I don't know what that's about.
What is happening?
Yeah.
It looks like they use some practical effects, which is cool.
Yes.
When Beetlejuice showed some picture, his eyes pop out, and that looks like practical.
Yeah, they do the gag of you see the back of his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
But I don't want all of that. I don't need it to be all that. But,
Yeah. Yeah. What are we going to do, huh? Yeah.
All right, let's take a break and come back with the chill sesh.
All right.
Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Mangione. I'm joined still by Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
This is the chill sesh.
Yeah.
This is a sesh where we chill. We talk about we just kind of freeform, play jazz. You know what I mean? We just.
I feel like this whole episode has been the chill sesh.
We just talk about. We don't know how to record in daylight, is what's happening.
I'm getting more comfortable now. The sun is set or is setting currently.
Yes. Yes.
The lights have gone on in the house. We're winding down. We're winding into our comfort zone.
Yes. So what are you chilling with?
Well, my family and I just returned from the Nickelodeon Resort.
Tell me all about it.
Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. It is a Nickelodeon lover's dream. I have to show you pictures because like okay. words won't do it justice on this like audio medium, but I'll try my best.
Sure.
Aesthetically, it's so cool because it's just very Nickelodeon. The Snick couch is there.
That's incredible.
That's in the arcade, that's like the fun. Arcade slash lounge.
Yeah.
So these places will have like an arcade for the kids. And then there's like a full bar. Like
for the kids
right in there with like deep leather couches, and then they have the Snick couch, which yeah. is so cool. There's character meetings.
Could all... you meet Dan Schneider?
You could not, no. but he was there.
Yeah.
So there's character meets like all day long. There's a group sliming every day at 3 p.m. where, so that's the water park. This yeah. is like, it's a green and orange water park. They have like a giant bucket on the top. It nice. Dumps out green water onto everybody at 3 p.m. There's like a Nickelodeon blimp on the top.
That's incredible.
Are
there rides?
There are no rides. It's just a beach resort.
Okay.
That has the water park.
Does the water park have slides?
Yeah. Slides, okay. You know, other features. This is the kids club.
That's fine.
It's super cool. There's a like giant orange slide, purple ball pit. Like the kids wow. had a blast.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was so much fun. And then... you know, all the great ones are there. Fairly yeah. Odd Parents. The place is like SpongeBob City.
Sure, I bet.
They have a giant pineapple that you could stay in.
That's incredible.
For like $1 million.
Sure.
But they have character breakfast where like you have breakfast with SpongeBob in his pajamas.
That looks lit.
It was lit. They know how to have a party. So we just came back from that.
What's his name?
What?
Chase. What's the name of the dog?
Chase and Marshall.
Chase is on the case?
Chase is on the case. This is the arcade. How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Big giant chandelier in the middle. Yeah, it was a fun time. The kids had an awesome time. We liked it for the nostalgic items. Like the Ninja Turtles are always around.
What? I see a stage show going on. What is that?
Oh, yeah. So they have this stage. They have shows unrelated to Nickelodeon, like resorts will typically like do a show at night to like entertain the guests. So they have those types of shows that are like dance shows, but they also have like character shows throughout the week. So this was the Ninja Turtle show where they dance.
That's
awesome. They also had like a Paw Patrol show.
Fun.
They also have, let's see, oh, like there's Squidward. You can meet him. Like some characters you're not meeting out in the wild necessarily.
Yeah. What about sexy
and the
Squidward?
Best part. We got individually slimed. So nice. Our family went under like the special slimer thing and everybody got slimed. And it was the best experience of their
How
young
did it
lives.
Feel?
Cool and refreshing. It was so cool. And it is a water-like consistency. This is our Ninja Turtles dinner.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was watery, but there's something else in it. But we couldn't figure out what, because they don't ask you if you have any kind of allergy beforehand.
Sure.
And it doesn't smell. But it is
so
like,
it's thicker than water?
It's a slightly. It is a water-like consistency, but it's... I would almost compare it to like the consistency of milk. It's like thicker than water, but it's not viscous. Like it's you can't like hold it or play with it. It's not like real slime.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, but it was so cool and refreshing because right. like it's crazy hot.
It's got to be something that if you swallow it, you can't get hurt.
Most likely, yeah, because it's all little kids doing it.
Right. So
and then they just tell you like just go in the pool.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, oh, hold on. Do I have a picture of this? They do have a shower. Near the pool, and it looks like the nose from what was it? What would you do? Not with what would you do with John Quinones? What is it?
Double Dare.
Double Dare. That was it. Double Dare.
So there are old school references.
There are some old school references peppered throughout, but you know, it's SpongeBob City. It's really like, which I like SpongeBob, so that's cool. Because Nickelodeon owns Garfield now, he was a central figure in the like the
Jim Davis's house.
This is Jim Davis's house. The guy who tried to kill Jim Davis was there.
Were your rooms a theme?
No.
Okay.
The rooms do have some elements. Like this is the pineapple. Oh my god. Crazy,
oh my god.
Crazy.
That's like their Cinderella's castle.
Yes, it really is. The rooms do have some, like literally when you walk in, there's a gold statue. He's the golden idol.
Yes. Pray to
of
him.
SpongeBob.
You must pray to him before coming in.
The rooms have some elements, but it's very like minimal and the rooms are very modern looking. So they have a mostly like neutral or like gray color scheme, but there are pops of orange throughout the room. Above the bed, if you don't or if you're not looking at it, you won't really notice anything's off about it. But there's like a pattern on the wall, and then you know, like you look up, and you see it's actually like a pattern of slime coming down, which is kind of cool.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Like in the like in Disney, like the better resorts, the less obvious it is.
Yeah,
like it'll just be like in the fucking pattern of the rug, there'll be Mickey's.
Yeah, there is an orange blimp in the room, but it's like an ottoman. It's small, but it's there. And then one of the cool things is the bathroom, it's just like a glass wall that like separates the like the bedroom area from the bathroom. Absolutely. Well, bathe, really. Because the bathtub, it's like a freestanding bathtub that's right in front of the window. But it has a privacy curtain.
Oh, okay.
And when you bring the privacy curtain down, it's SpongeBob's like laundry across the privacy
That's
curtain,
fun.
Which is cute. And other than that, there really aren't any like overt Nickelodeon references in the room. So that's kind of fun.
How long did you go for?
We were there for 5 nights. So almost a week.
That's really nice.
And it was not relaxing in any way, even though it was a beach. But, you know, it's when you go on a trip with the kids, it's a trip, not a vacation. But it was fun. And the kids they're like, when can we go back? I'm like, well, be very patient.
No, the answer to that is no.
Yeah.
Although
we might
awesome.
Do Disney cruise next year, who knows?
Yes,
we're always if like it's not a costume character, we won't be there.
Right.
I'm like I'm really front loading.
Right.
And then we'll see if they don't want to be you know weirdo theme park adults like we like then that's totally fine. But at least they got it in their childhood.
Right.
And they could go to France later.
Right. That reminds me of the 4-hour Jenny Nicholson video put out.
The Star Wars Hotel.
Which
did
is,
you finish it?
Yes.
Oh my god!
Not in one sitting. In many sittings.
No, who could?
It's exhaustive.
When you sent it to me, I had just gotten back.
Yeah.
And the flight was 4 hours. I was like, I could have just watched this on the flight.
You would have loved it.
Oh,
it's
man.
Exhaustive. She went and she filmed everything while she was there.
Yes,
I
didn't know that.
So it's like, it's not just cobbled together shit. Like it's like firsthand.
Yeah.
This is what I did on this trip, and how much it sucked.
Wow.
It's like, first
Bill
of all,
and I almost went.
Everyone was talking about like, oh, it's,
for
two,
our 10
it's
year
2,000
anniversary,
a night.
We were like, we should go.
It ends up being more like 6,000 for two nights.
Wow.
2,000 is like, I don't know where that number comes from. It's the cheapest on the cheapest day or whatever.
Right, they have this surge pricing.
The game element is broken. It does not work. Huh. She said you either can be a smuggler, a resistance spy or a first order loyalist.
Okay.
And she wanted to be a first order loyalist. So she was like aggressively trying to be friends with the first order like guy walking around. And she was like telling on fucking resistance people. Like you see Chewbacca at one point, she's like, fucking Chewbacca went right over there. He's right over there. But despite that, they randomly just placed her into the hero track, which she didn't want to do.
Right.
Like there's a scavenger hunt, but which really just amounts to like go and scan QR codes.
Uh-huh.
Like she's like, remember, like this is $6,000 for two nights. She breaks down like how much you're paying a minute.
Wow.
And first of all, it's not relaxing. It's two nights that are it's 2 days that are completely fucking.
There's like a big itinerary.
Right.
Right.
So you can miss stuff if you want.
Right.
But also,
for that stuff,
but also,
so
you
see it.
The rooms are smaller than any fucking room in even like the worst rooms in like on a ship.
Yeah.
The rooms are so fucking tiny.
Yeah.
And there is a cool window that shows like stars, but when the window is on, it has lights around the thing, so it's like you can't sleep. And then some people were like, "Oh, bring." Painter's tape, and she's like, if
I don't painter's tape.
I paid $6,000. Why do I have to bring tape?
Yeah.
For it to be worth it. And just the whole thing, the one thing that she said is good. Well, there's two shows.
Mm-hmm.
One is like a nightclub show.
Mm-hmm.
But she sat in a seat where there was a pole in front of her that she couldn't see anything.
Jesus Christ.
And she keeps cutting to that.
Oh my God.
And that ends with a story element of when you get your check on the back of it, there's like a clue, like Mimi in the thing. Whatever.
Oh.
And then the big show, the big finale is a lightsaber fight between Rey and Kylo Ren.
Right, right. With everyone sort of standing around awkwardly watching.
Yes.
It.
Right. And she's got that like cool lightsaber that actually works like a lightsaber.
Uh-huh.
which they like they promoted really hard. But apparently, like, it's super delicate. So she like pulls it out, and then she like finds some weird reason to bend down and clearly picks up a different lightsaber that she can fight with. But she said that was good. Mm-hmm. But she said overall, it was bad. It was not good. Wow. And she was like, you know, people are saying, what are they going to do with it? Maybe they'll turn it to a hotel. And she's like, no, because it's not a hotel. It's nowhere near anything else.
Right.
It's you can't get to the other parks from there.
Yeah.
And the rooms are too tiny. No one would ever want it. Mm-hmm. She was like, maybe what they'll do with it is... because it's closed.
Yeah.
It's like already failed. She said maybe what I could see them doing with it is making it like a really interactive like dinner thing.
Dinner
like,
experience,
like,
yeah.
Like be our guest. But then you'll still have empty rooms.
Right.
And right now they're not doing nothing with it. It's completely empty.
Yeah.
Supposedly there were people saw Imagineers there towards the end.
Okay.
So they thought that they were doing something, but then the Disney corporate was just like, we're done. We're closing it.
Yeah.
And she makes a really good, her sort of final thesis is really great because she's basically, she says like a lot of it's hubris. Like they were like, people are going to pay this much.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen. And like right after the beginning, like there was just so much open shit on the calendar. Like people were not booking it.
Yeah.
And you think that they would lower prices and they never did.
They never did.
Mm. And it fucking failed spectacularly.
But it was always going to, unless they completely changed it like every year or so, because who's going to come back?
Right. But that would still mean that the one time was awesome.
Right, right, right.
And according to her, the one time
was not.
Isn't. And it's sad because like you see people like kidding themselves and they're like, this is great, right? Because it's like you've spent a fortune.
You don't want to be a fool, right? You don't want to have been hoodwinked by this. This brand that you love so much.
Right.
Mm.
And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And
that's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually, after watching the video, I'm actually glad I didn't go.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And I feel like the video is enough for me. Like, I can really see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she goes into, like, the market. I mean, it's a four-hour video. She talks about the marketing of it and, like, how that was an early indicator of, like, there's not much to do here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a lightsaber training thing
mm-hmm.
that's not real. It's like giving a kid a fucking fake remote while you're playing, while someone else is playing. Like the like you're supposed to be blasting the laser, but the laser's actually following you. It's just every and that's the thing that she gets into. She's like, this could have been good, but they went cheap. Like that's the weird thing about Disney is they still act prestige and they still charge like the prestige, yet they cut corners like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And she's like, also like, it doesn't have a good Star Wars aesthetic. It's supposed to be from the High Republic era.
Okay.
Even though the ship is from the High Republic era, even though it's like in the sequel era. So it's like very like gold and it's like, it doesn't feel Star Wars-y really. And then one day, like your excursion is... they put you in literal trucks.
What?
It's a truck. From the outside, it's a truck. From your point of view, you walk into a transporter.
Okay.
And you walk in, but you're really on a fucking truck that they truck to Galaxy's Edge. And then you go to Galaxy's Edge. And one of the parts of the game is to go to Olga's Cantina. Okay. But you have to make reservations. So
you have to make reservations? Yeah. I thought part of it was that, like... you get to do all the stuff.
You still have to pay extra for everything.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, and she stayed on like a pretty shitty room. And she was like, you know, like if you pay more, you get like the first show in the nightclub. Like if you pay a lot, you could like sit at the captain's table.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a really good view of it. But she's really into the characters. So she tracks the character stories. The one thing that she loved, which I would have loved, is... they had a character that was a Rodian, which is what Greedo is.
Okay.
And it was like a cool rock star Rodian.
Oh.
And clearly, like, it was suffocating to be in it because they would come and go, like, every 20 minutes. But
they had to, like, take it off.
But it was, like, an animatronic and, like, it was really cool to, like, interact with.
Oh, wow.
But
see, I hope that kind of stuff makes its way into the parks.
Yeah. Well, she also makes the point, a lot of what Star Cruiser, Galactic Star Cruiser, which we all call the Star Wars Hotel.
Right.
was stuff that they had originally said it was going to be in Galaxy's Edge. Oh. Remember Galaxy's Edge? They said it's going to have interactive gameplay. It's going to have robots and aliens walking around. Yeah. And none of that shit happened.
Yeah, it's just stormtroopers.
And then they pushed it into this thing. And then it fucking...
I hope that comes all of it comes in. I would love to have a Star Wars show be at, you know, Galaxy's Edge. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
When I first read and saw the concept art for the Star Wars hotel, I did not think it was going to be this type of experience. Like, I thought it would be either like a value or moderate hotel that was like one of the hotels in the chain. That
just looks like a spaceship.
That looks like a spaceship, and maybe there's a character meal there, like,
right,
you know, Chef Mickey's or something, but it's a Star Wars meal,
right,
and that your rooms had the theming, and, you know, maybe it would be like a Skyliner property or something, so that it has sort of like a space-agey travel. And I was so excited. I'm like, this is a cash cow. Like, people are going to pay out the nose to stay out there. I think
that would have been.
I was so excited. I was like, we got to take the boys. I can't wait. And yeah, they just royally fucked it up.
They were like, no. Well, it's the whole.
Could you imagine just a character meal? Just a Star Wars character meal?
But this
in the cantina, right? Like, the restaurant looks like the cantina. Yeah. They don't serve weird food like they do at August Cantina, which is like a hot dog or like some weird shit. And some chips. But it's just, you know, Chewbacca comes around.
Olga's Cantina sucks too.
Yeah, it does.
You have to wait online to get in. You get in, you're there for 10 minutes.
You are in like standing room only, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. No,
we canceled. We canceled our Olga's Cantina reservation.
Really?
We had a reservation. We canceled it.
We were there for 10 minutes, had a drink, and we were like, okay, so this was it.
Because we had, you know, little kids with us. And I was like, they're going to be antsy. I don't want to force them to do this. Right. I'm going to forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, they fucked everything up. But this is all typical of the Bob Chapek era. Mm. On one side, there was an ethos of, you know, the biggest thing people complain about is crowding. So the way we get rid of crowding is price families out, which is evil. But then at the same time, cheaping out on things and removing amenities that were there, like fucking shuttle from the plane to the fucking, like, so you're doing these two things at the same time, acting like your prestige but making it a less product. Mm-hmm. And that's why fucking Universal is like on the ball. They're like, we are stealing your lunch. If I want to go to Universal, honestly, I'm really at a point where, like, from what I hear and see now, I don't want to go to Disney right now. It feels like I'm going to pay more for less.
We went. Have you been since you guys went in 2020?
No, I haven't been since the pandemic.
I went in 2022. Mm-hmm. A lot of COVID things were still happening. Like, a lot of character meals were not there. A lot of experiences were still not open. I think it's since all sort of come back.
Yeah.
But and I think the things that are closed still are staying closed. But, you know, it does still feel like quality.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm a big Universal fan. I'll get into it more in my obsessions. But like, Universal has always felt like they are fighting their Six Flags-ness. You know, there's some elements of Universal that are just like a Six Flags. Right. Like, some of the rides, it's not as immersively designed.
Right.
And it seems like this new era, this new phase is trying to be much more immersive. Islands of Adventure was more of an immersive attempt. And I you know, I think a lot of areas have succeeded. But now they're doing like light shows at night. I'm ahead of myself.
Yeah.
So.
But maybe what we've learned from the Galactic Star Cruiser is that there's a glass ceiling to immersion.
Mm. Yeah. Well, if it's not done well, right?
But how could it be done well?
I think
unless it's like this boutique thing for the super crazy rich.
Yeah.
How could you possibly have people coming through and each having a narrative experience?
Yeah.
Like, really having a narrative experience. Like, you know what I mean? What you really get is someone being like, hey, did you see Chewbacca come through here? And then the kid's like, he went that way.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I'm a part of the story. And it's like, fucking.
Yeah.
Way to go. $6,000.
They took a bath. Oh my God.
So, speaking of Disney, what I've been chilling with is the last couple days, I have all the streamers. I don't mean to brag of my lifestyle. I have all the streamers except like the ridiculous ones. I'm looking at you, fucking Peacock.
I have Peacock.
I have Shudder. I have fucking... Okay. Shudder's probably the most...
Esoteric.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
you have Criterion.
Criterion is... Yeah. I love Criterion. But Shudder and Criterion are great because they actually just give you old movies, which is like what it used to be. Like Netflix, at this point, it's like... You're just a network. Like, everything is your shit.
Yeah. It's like the CW. It really is a CW vibe to it.
So, what was I saying? Oh, so I typically don't go on Disney a lot. But I was like, you know what? I want to go on Disney and I want to catch up on shit. So I've been catching up on Disney movie, like live action Disney shit I haven't seen.
Oh, okay, okay.
In the last week, really in like the last couple of days, I have watched Tron Legacy, The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh, wow.
Big Hero 6, that is animated.
That's a great one.
It was great. And Flight of the Navigator from 1986.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, I've never seen that.
It is... I have a lot to say about Flight of the Navigator. It's got a lot of E.T. in its DNA.
Yeah.
But it's also like one of those 80s kids movies where there's actual danger and stakes.
Yeah.
Like, remember like in Big, like they would cut to his parents being heartbroken that their child is missing and probably abducted and murdered? Like, you don't see shit like that in kids' movies now. Mm. In Flight of the Navigator...
Yeah, they're always, like, on vacation, totally clueless. Everything's fine, Mom. Yeah. Like, they're getting emails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flight of the Navigator, from what I had always seen or heard, was like, oh, this is a movie where, like, a kid finds a spaceship and he gets to fly in a spaceship and he's got a fun robot companion. That's, like, the last 40 minutes.
Wow.
Most of the movie is a harrowing... It's about a kid... In 1978, who like goes out to like find his young older brother. His parents are like, go get your brother. We're going to have dinner. He falls in
and he never comes back.
He falls in a ditch.
No.
He wakes up and 8 years have passed.
What?
He goes to his home. Strangers live there. He's crying.
Oh my God.
He goes to the, like, they don't skip a beat with this. He goes to the cops. It's like procedural. The cops are like, we're gonna find you, and the cops are like, this kid's been missing. This kid should not look, he should be like 20 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is, how is this, he still look like a kid? What's the problem here?
Right.
They find his parents. They are broken people. His younger brother's now his older brother. Oh, he's in a hospital. He's then in like he's in a scientific facility where they're watching him and fucking like poking and prodding at him, and it's like his only joy is like a young Sarah Jessica Parker is like the cute girl who works in the lab, and she's like nice to him.
Yeah,
that's the one piece of levity. And then like in the end, he goes into the ship and he flies around a bit.
A little bit.
It's mostly a weird ass time travel story.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
That's bananas. Oh, so he time traveled. It wasn't like Rip Van Winkle where he fell asleep.
No, well, no, he tripped and fell, and then the ship like analyzed him for 6 years or whatever. I don't know.
He went clear.
And then yes, exactly. No more thetans. And then he woke up, they put him where he was and he woke up.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Yeah, I don't like that. So he was abducted.
He was yes.
He was kidnapped.
It's for sure an abduction story.
Wow.
Yeah. But you got Paul Rubens as the voice of the robot.
That's even worse.
Having a great time. No, I liked it.
That's so okay. All right.
It's weird. So let's talk about Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Okay.
So this is a movie that's a huge failure. It was critically panned. Sure, of course it did. It was critically panned.
That was when like CGI cost a lot of money.
But there's also, they went really practical for a lot of shit.
Oh, wow.
So
it should hold up.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. The middle drags,
for
sure.
I wish you all could have seen the face I just got.
Why we all decided this movie sucks.
Oh, because, you know, because that piece on his head. That wig is wigging.
I was fine with it.
You were fine with it. I think totally I see the wig it. And I'm like, nah.
No, I was fine with it.
And also Jay Baruchel, you know.
He's like playing 20 and he's clearly 49. But he's fine in it. And in the middle, they actually refer to what it's supposedly adapting, which is there's a point where fucking Nicolas Cage is like, I'm going out, whatever. And he uses magic to make brooms and mops get up and like,
fun.
And you hear the down, bum, 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 da, da, da. But other than that, it's its own thing. The villain is played by Alfred Molina.
Okay. He's
incredible.
He's always great.
I love Alfred Molina.
Who does?
Yeah, it's certainly not a piece of piece of garbage. Like,
it's a fun time.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun watch it. I dare you to watch it. You are not
coward.
You are not gonna be like, wow, that was a complete waste of my time in life. It's fine. I liked it better than I liked the Jungle Cruise.
Oh, okay. I didn't see it.
And that was okay too.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for they're not on Disney Plus yet, but I'm waiting for Tomorrowland and Lone Ranger.
Oh, okay.
And then I've done all of those, like,
wow. That
basically the period before they decided, let's just remake our cartoons.
Right.
And Tron 2, by the way, is awesome.
I like the first Tron.
Yeah.
Well,
it's way better than the first Tron. On.
The first remake. Was there a sequel to the remake?
No.
Then I'm talking about the...
Did you talking about...
I'm talking about the one you saw.
Yes.
Michael
Tron
Sheen?
Tron Legacy. No.
Michael Sheen is in one.
Yes, he is.
Okay. That's the one I saw.
Yes. That's,
and I really liked it.
I forgot that he's in it. He's basically playing a Volteri again.
Yes.
He's just a white... faced man.
Yes. He had that time where he was like Underworld, Twilight, this, where he was long dark hair, pasty white face. Yeah. I love him. I just love him.
There's only one Wesley Snipes.
What's so funny is the first time I ever saw him was in the Underworld movies, and he is humorless in those films.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is this
yeah.
Russian guy? I don't know. And I really come to find him adorable and charming and so funny.
He's wonderful.
But he's great in that. He does really good, like, unhinged.
Yeah.
He's sort of like David Bowie-esque in this one. I love the Tron movie.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I liked it better than the original. It's doing more. So the CGI is great other than the DJs.
Daft Punk does the soundtrack.
And they're in it.
They're in it.
DJs.
Of course they are. Yeah.
The only CGI that doesn't work is the de-aged... Jeff Bridges.
Right.
That's rough. But given that it's all like we're in a computer movie, it kind of is all fine and works. I was okay with it.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
I liked it a lot. And I even watched one episode of the show.
There's a show.
There's an animated series, and the characters are designed by the artist that did Zima Blue.
Get the fuck
so out they've
of
got
here.
That like long that
get
long limb thing.
Out of here. Okay.
Check it out.
I'm going to have to.
Just look, just for the design. You could see the Zima
now,
Blue in there.
Now, would you go on the ride?
No, because I'm a scaredy baby, but the ride looks so
cool.
The ride looks really cool.
I'm just afraid I'd be like, I can't sit in the seat.
I'm old. I'm afraid I'd break my back and I'd vomit.
I'm so scared of the rides now because, well, I'll get into it in my obsession, but yeah.
Okay.
We got a trip coming up.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll do obsessions. Welcome back to BCMC. This is Obsessions. I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Because I feel that yours is going to be very light,
hearted. Okay. So you need
and mine is not.
Oh. Okay.
So mine is, I'll be honest with you, it's not a true obsession, but it's a movie I watch a lot of pictures, and it's a movie I watched like a month or so ago, mm-hmm. and it has stuck in my brain. Like, I still think about it a lot.
Okay.
And it had I just watched it randomly, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. It's a Dutch movie. Uh-huh. It was made in the Netherlands, and it was made in 1982.
Okay.
It's a feminist movie.
Uh-huh.
It's called A Question of Silence.
Oh.
Which makes it sound very dry. But what it's about is, it's an amazing premise. Three women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the main character is a criminal psychologist.
Okay.
And she works and, you know, and her husband is a lawyer. So they both work in the legal field.
Uh-huh.
And she is given this case to talk to these three women. These three women who do not know each other, they met at the site of the crime. All three murdered a man together.
But the same man?
Yes.
Okay.
They all together murdered a man, but they did not know each other before that moment.
Wow.
So
he must have been a real piece
of shit.
So
there's like a... So there's like this
mystery. He pissed them all off at the same time.
Yes. There's like this mystery of why, like why it happened. And she's talking to all of them. And one, they all have different lives. One One is a very put upon wife who hasn't spoken in like a year, but his husband has noticed that she doesn't speak.
Wow.
And one is like, you see her in a business meeting and she makes a point, and then a man makes the same point, and the boss is like, that's a great point, Jeffrey. And then the other one is she's the fun one. She's like a brassy, like diner waitress.
Sure.
Who's constantly being sexually harassed. Oh. And all of them went to, as the movie goes on, they keep flashing back to them meeting.
Right.
And it's at like just a clothing store. And there's like a snooty guy who, is there watching. And the quiet one, the real like sweet one, she, for whatever reason, tries to shoplift, maybe to be seen, maybe for a thrill.
Yeah.
And he sees her and he's like, put it back. And she doesn't. And they keep cutting, and they don't show it all at once. They keep cutting back and forth. And as she's interviewing them more and more, she's beginning to understand them and like them. Mm-hmm. And but she'll ask them, like, why did you do this? And they'll be like, they won't tell her. Mm-hmm. And one of them's like, you know, you know why this happened. Mm. It's crazy. And the husband's like, you should get away from this case because it's not good for you. But he's really worried about his own career. Mm. And then eventually they show the whole thing where this guy's just like, he didn't do anything bad, really. Mm. Like Fox News would see this movie and be like, this movie's just pro-murdering men. But it's clearly very allegorical.
Yeah.
And she doesn't put back the thing that she shoplifts. And then she like hits the guy, but like not hard.
Yeah.
And then the other two women there, and there's other women there that watch and do nothing too.
Yeah.
They don't get arrested, but there's like four other women that just watch it happen. Mm-hmm. And then they hit him too, and it starts off very soft.
Yeah.
And then it just grows until they kill him.
Wow.
And
so just beat a man to death.
Yeah. And then they all go on their separate ways.
Wow.
And in the ends with a trial, which is the ending is really what made me like be like, bravo, this movie's incredible. It ends with a trial, and you know, like they've got like, I don't know how they do it in fucking Netherlands, but there's like a bunch of judges with fucking silly wigs.
Why do the other countries do that and we don't?
I don't know.
I like that we don't.
So the lawyer, it's interesting because at first the prosecution, because she's there to, she's not a lawyer, but she's there to testify as a psychologist. Mm. Who is an expert. And first the prosecutor's like, we're not going for insanity. We know you're going to say that it's insanity and we're not going for it. And she's like, no, I'm not. I don't think that they're insane. And then the prosecution's like, well, what do you mean? They murdered a person. How could they not be insane? Mm. And that goes on, question like that. And they start like questioning her abilities. Mm. And, or, you know, do you know, are you a good therapist or a psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever, where your allegiance lies? She like, they start like being really mean to her. Mm. And then eventually they're like, you're saying, if they're not crazy, what you're saying is they were all somehow just or not not just, but you're saying that they weren't insane to kill this man.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yes. And that's where the husband's like, don't say anything. And then the end, the big end is at one point the judge says, look, if this were the other way around, if it were a man who killed a woman, it would be the same thing. And then one of the three killers starts laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two start laughing. And then all the women in the courtroom start laughing. And then the main character, the psychologist, she starts laughing. And they're all just laughing hysterical. And the judges are like, order, order, order. And they just will not start laughing hysterically. Mm. At this bullshit premise.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
I love that ending.
It's so fucking good.
It also like, it gives so much like Salem witch trials when all the accusers used to do the same things all the time.
Yeah.
And like how women are still conflated with witches and how, like, oh, just.
It's so fucking good. It was just like, what a, so
that
good.
Is like, that's a companion piece of the Barbie movie. Those two things.
Yes, right? It certainly like, is. Because yes. I'm sure it would anger as many people. Because you could easily read it as pro-murdering random men for no reason. But it's more like, you know.
This man was just every man.
Yes, systematic oppression.
He was the man, right?
And then they were being forced by the law to claim that they were insane to do it. And that's what they wouldn't do.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
That's my obsession.
That's really good.
You can find it on Criterion. It's directed by Marlene Gorris. It's in Dutch. It's a great movie. It's a great, awesome movie.
Yeah.
So tell me about Rides or whatever.
Wow. I So we are going. So I just came back from one, which we never do this. Like, we're like a one trip a year, if that, family.
Yeah.
But we are going to Universal Studios in July to sweat our asses off. Nice. It's a hot summer.
What made you decide?
Because of all the new stuff that they're doing. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I like. Here's my like midwit idea. It's not quite a dimwit idea, and it's certainly not a smart idea, but it's a midwit idea, yeah. Which is, I feel like if you go this summer, the summer before next year, when Epic Universe and like Super Mario Land and all that like great stuff is coming out.
I thought Mario Land was already there.
It's not there yet. It's not open. It will be open next year. It's a 2025 open. It's in Disney, not Disneyland. It's in California.
It's in California.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not in Florida yet, but it's coming soon. Okay. It's going to be next year. I think next year is going to be the big Universal year. I think people who would have planned to go this year, are, unless they're locals, which a lot of locals like to go there.
Sure.
And that's why I booked it for weekdays, not weekends. That next year is going to be the big Universal trip for a lot of people because they're opening this new land.
Right, a bunch of new stuff. The Universal Monsterland.
Yes, I can't wait for that. But that's going to be several years from now when like the initial...
So then what are you going for?
Well, they're opening other things. There were smaller openings this year that were sort of like quieter openings. And they're also better for younger kids. So the problem with Universal and the reason we didn't have it on our like itinerary for the next couple of years is because they don't really typically have a lot of stuff for little kids.
Uh-huh.
They did open Minion Land within the last like several years. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's no brainer. The kids love that. Henry is into Harry Potter now. So, I mean, he hasn't read the books. He's too little, but he just likes the idea of it. So
sure.
There. Now they're going to have a new sort of like Magic Kingdom Castle type show with the Hogwarts. With Hogwarts.
Okay.
So it's going to be.
Is that like Shiz?
It's exactly like Shiz, except not as good.
Oh.
It's unaccredited.
Oh, boy. You get a certificate.
So there's going to be a nightly light show now, like projection show on the castle. There is a new land within, I think, Universal, not Islands of Adventure, that just opened up. It's the DreamWorks land.
Oh.
So it's like Shrek and Shrek Swamp and the trolls and the troll. It's going to be like a little troll ride. It's not like a major expansion, but it's like a small area.
Somewhere,
Kung Fu Panda's there.
I just saw on... Reel, because I'm millennial. I don't watch TikTok. I watch Reels. somewhere they just opened up a little gift shop that's Universal Monster themed.
Cute. We got to check it out.
It's not. I don't know. It's not related to anything. Just put it in there.
I would love to get some merch. So they last year, maybe 2 years ago, they released a line of 30th anniversary Universal Studios, and like, I want to buy it all.
Yeah.
E.T. is still there. Unfortunately, Jaws is not. You have to go to Japan for Jaws, and I will.
Yeah.
But
E.T. is still
King
there.
King Kong's not there anymore. Back to the Future is not there anymore.
There's a new King Kong, though.
Is there?
Yeah.
I probably won't go on it because, you know, unless I go alone.
Right.
Like, we have to pass off kids. But they seem to have expanded with, like, a lot more.
Have you gone?
I have not gone.
When's the last time you went?
Like, with you.
So
like
15 years ago.
At least.
So you've never gone to the Harry Potter?
Never.
Oh, okay.
To Harry Potter.
So you got that.
Simpsons.
All that to do.
Like, all that stuff. And we're worried Simpsons is probably going to close soon because they're losing the rights
when
to
we
it.
When we went, was Jaws there?
Jaws was there.
Did we go or was it closed?
No, I think we went.
I can't remember.
Yeah. If Jaws is open, I'm going.
A few times.
One time. And then the second time we waited on the line and then you were like, I cannot do this right. And you were like, I'm out of here.
I'm going to cut that out of the podcast. I do remember you alone going on the Incredible Hulk ride and me being like, not even a little bit.
Because it is my all-time favorite roller coaster.
Not even a little
bit. But let me tell you, I'm genuinely concerned. I'm like, I don't think my body can do this anymore. Like, I think I'm going to come off and be like, I can't move my neck. I can't move my neck.
I know, it's terrible.
Like, I love that ride so much. And I'm just like, I can't do it. They also have like a shit ton of new roller coasters that look so scary. Like the Rip Ride Rocket looks like it's a death machine.
Yeah.
Like that roller coaster that was invented to like, have you ever seen the Euthanasia coaster?
No.
It will haunt your nightmares. It's like a theoretical design for a roller coaster that would kill you. And it's not like it'll launch you into outer space. It's just like just the roller
the
coaster motions
enough to
itself.
Kill you.
Yeah. And so it's just a series of like loops
oh my God.
That go from extremely big to smaller and smaller and smaller to the point. And the idea is horrifying. The idea is that basically, like, you would eventually not be able to breathe. And that's how it would kill you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Spooky. But what a way to go.
I know, right? I'm like, well, I guess I would do it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's not too scary.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. In any event, so they have one that looks like that. I'm not going on it. They have the Velocicoaster, which actually looks very, very cool. I might have to do single rider for that one. That's the thing. You have to, like, trade off single rider.
What about...
Their single rider system is so much nicer than Disney's, though, like, from what I've been reading. Because, like, Disney also has that for parents who want to do roller coasters, but they have their, like, dumb little kids with them.
Stupid little kids.
So, but they'll give you a fast pass. So you wait on the regular line. Then you do a fast pass. And the next person just gets to walk on, essentially. Ugh. So Universal has it. So, like, you get to the ride. They put you in you and your little kids in an air-conditioned room while the person does the ride. And then they swap you out. So you get to go to the air-conditioned room. And then the next person goes on the ride. Mm. I'm like, that's a beautiful system. I love that.
They didn't make it crazy, stupid, fucking complicated.
They didn't.
You don't need
all.
Five apps and fucking...
Also, their Express Pass system is just, like, if you buy it, but it's stupid expensive. Yeah. It's, like, crazy expensive. Okay. Like, Disney Genie Plus is relatively cheap in comparison, because the Universal Express Pass is, like, almost $200 a day. It's like buying another ticket.
Yeah.
Crazy. So, in any event, here's a Universal hack. If you want the Express Pass for 2 days, book yourself a hotel at one of the, like, deluxe resorts for one night. And you get it for the day you check in and the day you check out. So it's almost worth the price of just doing a hotel room for one night.
Hack.
Yeah.
Pro tip. Where are you staying?
At the Hard Rock. It's a deluxe hotel. Oh, so nice. I can get the Express Pass. Nice. We priced it out to do one of their, like, value resorts and just buy the Express Pass for certain days.
Yeah.
It was not cost effective. It was much more cost effective to just stay in the nicer hotel. And then you get free. That's still part of it. That's
the thing.
Did they
do meal plans?
They don't do meal plans that I know of. But they don't really have – no, it's back.
Oh, it is?
The dining plan is back, yeah. The thing about Universal Dining is, like, it's mostly sit down in City Walk, not really in the parks. They have quick service places, but it's not really like a – like, they don't have, like, character meals or anything there. So if you're going to sit down, it's going to be, like, at the Bubba Gum Shrimp Factory where we went.
They have great garlic bread.
Oh, boy, do they. I'm excited. I'm, like, gearing up.
That's awesome.
I hope I don't break my neck on one of these things.
Oh, my God.
I'm worried that Hagrid's motorbike adventure, I will not fit in the seat. The seat is apparently very touchy. And, like, you have to sit in it before you ride it just to make sure they can close it the way. But even some people who are, like, generic weight, I'll say, are like, no, it's a weird thing. Like, you have to, like, lean forward when you get in. Otherwise, it won't close right. And they'll be like, sorry. And you have to leave. So people are just, they're like, get in the seat beforehand because you don't want to have to wait on this line and then get told, like, you can't go on the ride.
In front of everyone. And they do make everyone point and laugh at you.
They do. They're like, hey, go get another fat sandwich from Homer Simpson Land, which is what they call it.
Which I would do. I'd be like, that's a great
thing.
I'd be like,
I'm going to go then. Fine, I guess.
I'll go get a fucking hot dog from your whatever version of Quickie Mart you have here.
I'm excited for all of that stuff. I'm getting, like, Simpsons t-shirts for it and
awesome.
Things like that. So
that sounds
should
really
be good.
Cool.
And we may go to the water park while we're there because it's going to be the ass middle of July.
Ooh.
So. Oof. But their water park is, like, world class. I would say it looks better than any of the Disney water parks.
Really?
It just looks so cool. And then they have this system where everybody gets a bracelet, like, every single person.
Yeah.
And they're called, if one Mr. William Gagliardi just came
home. It's William Joseph, Billy Joe Gagliardi.
Billy Joe.
Did you remember me from last week? I'm back.
He never left. So they have this cool system where, like, for the price of admission, everybody just gets this bracelet, and it's all just a fast pass bracelet. So everyone just, like, scans in to a ride, and then you go get a drink or go to the Lazy River or whatever, and then they just alert you when it's time to go get on the ride. There's, like, other stuff to do, right? Simple.
Well, Disney engineered
it simple,
into
stupid.
Stupid shit.
But yeah, I'm excited, and it's only 2 months away, so I'm like, shit, I have another trip to go on. Okay, look at me.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you. I'll let you know, and then everybody who goes to, like, Dark Universe next year can let me know, and I'll wait a couple years for, like, the excitement to wear off, and then I'll go.
Yeah.
Go back when it's hopefully less crowded.
Yeah, well, that's a, are they excited? Are the children excited?
They're very excited. Oh, I didn't even tell you the other thing.
What?
The other thing they're debuting this summer. So a lot of these things are also debuting like in June or early July. So like right before we get there, it's like all this new stuff. So that's including like the Hogwarts Light Show. DreamWorks World just opened like last week.
Yeah.
They have like Shrek-shaped pretzels and like swamp juice to drink. Like I'm excited for that stuff. Universal's not really known for their food. So it seems like they're rolling out a lot of themed food items and drink items for DreamWorks. They did that with Minion.
Smart.
But the thing that clinched it for us, the reason we were like, we have to go, is there's a new parade debuting. And it's going to have like a lot of the older Universal characters. But the big one is, how many feet tall is it?
16.
Okay. The big one is the Ghostbusters are featured heavily in this parade. Nice. And there's going to be a 16-foot Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the parade. And as you know,
incredible.
We have world's number one Ghostbusters fan in this house. And it is his birthday week. So
that's incredible.
It's also Henry's birthday week. So we're going to do Harry Potter stuff for him.
That's awesome.
Their fandoms are represented here.
That's really nice. Yeah. Well, you're going to have a great time.
Mm, yeah.
That's the fucking People's Park.
That's the People's Park.
That's the People's Park now.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Have a good time. Yeah. Hopefully they don't get motion sick on all the 3D rides because there are a lot of them.
There's a lot of screens.
There's a lot of screens.
That's what they say about that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's all right.
It's going to be super fun. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, by gum, I think we've done it all.
I think we did it. We've done day to night. It is night now.
Janine, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
This has been PCMC. We come out every Wednesday. We have since the Big Bang, and we will to the end of days. We end the episode by saying,
"Goal."